Do we ever have a teaching for you today called The Power of Holy Smoke? Over here to my left is a replica that we have used in a teaching that we did on the tabernacle, the entire tabernacle of Moses, a fabulous teaching. I think it was 14 to 16 hours of teaching on a stage before a live audience with a tabernacle that we had built. Fantastic teaching. And I'm not just saying that. That subject matter is fantastic, whoever teaches it. But the power of Holy Smoke. Now, this is called the Golden Altar. And I'm going to refer back to the Golden Altar because there was a Golden Altar that Moses constructed in the tabernacle in the wilderness. There was a Golden Altar in the Temple of Solomon and also one in the temple called the Second Temple that was reestablished by Ezra and Nehemiah in the time of Christ. And there's a real key to understanding holy smoke, and you're going to learn some things, so I want you to track with me. Let's begin in Genesis, because in Genesis chapter 28, verses 16 through 17, Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Now, there's two phrases that Jacob said that I want to point out here. Where he was when he had this fantastic dream that I'm going to tell you about, he called it the house of God. Now, in Hebrew, it would be Bethel, which means house of God. But he also said, "This is the gate of heaven." Now, the story is that Jacob was on the run, and he was going to go to Syria to live with a relative because his brother Esau was about to kill him for taking his blessing and his birthright. So he went to a certain place, and there he was, his head was on a rock, and he dreamed a dream of a ladder that the base was touching the earth, and the top was reaching up into the heavens, and there were angels coming up the ladder, and there were angels going down the ladder. Now, he awakes and he says, "This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." That's the verse I just read. But then he promises God, "If you will one day bring me back to this place where I am, I will present to you the tithe." Now, the tithe is the tenth. The tenth. Now, in that day, remember this, in that day there was no temple that had been built at all. There was no tabernacle. That would come many years later, hundreds of years later. There was Melchizedek, who was the king and priest of the Most High God that Abraham had paid tithe to in Genesis 14. To my knowledge, he's probably no longer around at this time. Could have been, but probably was not. And then we find out that there is no altar to offer a sacrifice on. So here he is looking at a dream of a ladder. Now, what was going on with that ladder? Why were angels going up and angels coming down? Many years ago, my father, who was from the coalfields of West Virginia, was a young minister traveling, and there was a man, he was an elder in a church, but he said, "I don't believe in tithing." And he said, even though that was in the Old Testament, we don't do that in the New. Well, I can show you in a moment, it is in the New Testament, of course. So he had a dream one night, and he literally dreamed he saw angels coming up and down a ladder. And he was so stunned in this dream, he said, "Oh, I'm seeing what the Bible says that Jacob saw." And the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Do you know what they're doing?" And in the dream, he said, "No, Lord, I don't." He said, "They're taking the tithe up the ladder and presenting it to God, and they're bringing the blessing down on the other side." And I mean, immediately, that next week, he became a tither, lived to be an old man, and gave and tithed and did the work of God his entire life. And I do believe, because I was always curious, and I heard my daddy tell that story many years ago, but I was always curious why angels are going up. Obviously, if they're going up, they're leaving the earth, going up for a purpose. And why are they coming down? They're coming from heaven to the earth, from earth to the heaven on this particular ladder. Well, the man had made the statement. Now, this is about smoke and prayer, but stay with me because I want to teach you some other things. You know, the man had said he didn't believe in tithing because it was not in the New Testament. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews 7, 9 through 10. "As I may say so, Levi also received tithes, and he paid tithe in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." Now, you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and you have Levi, who is one of the sons of Jacob. So in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham is paying the tenth or the tithe from all the stuff of Sodom and Gomorrah that was recaptured, and he's paying it to Melchizedek, who was the first king and priest of the Most High God in the city of Salem, in the King James translation, that's Jerusalem, then the Bible says he's paying it on behalf of Levi. Well, look, Levi is going to be three generations later. The thought came to me that what you do with your works of your hands, with your thinking, with your words, with your actions, actually affects your children when they are still in the form of a seed in your loins. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews chapter 7. The amazing thing is, I want to show you this. He says in verse 8, here men die that receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Now that's a powerful verse. Now here's what it means. Whatever I do on earth is recorded in heaven in books. Giving someone a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, feeding the poor, clothing the poor and the needy, taking care of widows and orphans. My reward in Matthew 25 in heaven is based on what has been written in the books of heaven about what I did on earth. The same is true with giving. How do I know that God watches my giving? Acts chapter 10, 1 through 4. A centurion named Cornelius is seeking God and praying, and an angel comes and says, your prayers and your alms. One word means, it says charity. Another word says financial giving. And I'm saying word being the translation of the word their alms. It's an old word that we don't use anymore, but it was financial giving has come up before God as a memorial. So God was marking the prayers, and that's where we're going to get into this holy smoke in a minute. He was marking the prayers of Cornelius, but he was also marking the giving of Cornelius. So in this vision that Jacob has, here's Jacob. He has this vision of the ladder. He's about to leave. He's leaving with basically the clothes on his back. Nope, there's nothing. He may have an animal that he's riding. That's it. But he comes back 20 years later with so much stuff that when he meets Esau, he's giving it away to Esau. Esau said, I have enough. Jacob says, no, brother, you don't understand. I have enough. And he's got children. He's got his wives. He's got all this stuff that in 20 years God has blessed him with because he said he would honor the Lord with what God would give him. Now, going back from the ladder to Cornelius about prayers and alms, how does your prayer come up before God as a memorial? How does it happen? All right. What I want to do is I want to take you to this altar, which is a golden altar. All right. Here it is right here. I want you to take a look at this. And this is, of course, a replica based on someone's opinion of the dimension, not opinion, actual dimensions, but these were probably horns instead of blocks according to the horns of the altar. But anyway, what this altar was, and let me explain it to you, it's made of a particular type of wood called shittim wood, which is a very tough wood. It's overlaid with gold. Now this one's not, okay? This is painted gold. It's overlaid with gold. It is four square. It is the highest piece of furniture that you can find as far as the height of it when it comes to, we won't get into that. That's a whole nother teaching. I'm going to get sidetracked on my tabernacle teaching if I'm not careful. There is a bowl, a metal bowl here, and what they would do is the priest would go out into the area where the brass altar was, where there were coals of fire burning. He would take those coals, put them in the bowl, and then he would take incense. Now, the Bible lists four kinds of incense that were used when the priest offered the prayers up each day on the golden altar. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem and Jewish writings indicate that there ended up being a total of 11 different kinds of spices that were mixed in with the incense, two fistful of incense that went into this tray where the hot coals were, and the incense would burn and the smoke would go up. Now, there's some interesting stories I need to tell you about this. I researched years ago, and there were 11 different types of incense that were allegedly used by the priest who would go in every morning and offer this incense first thing in the morning. And there are 11 different types of prayers found in the New Testament. It's very interesting. The second thing I want to tell you is about when the priest went in. And I want them to keep that shot right here where they can see this altar. In the Temple Institute, which is an institute in Jerusalem that has made replicas of certain items related to the temple. We went in there one day and one of the students shared with us, he had a metal tray. It was a silver tray, beautiful metal chalice that was there, made of silver. And he said when the priest would go in, he would take his pinky finger, and there was a ring there, and he would put it in that ring, lift the lid, take the incense, put it in here, inside this chalice, carry it on the tray. I said, what's the purpose of the tray? He said, so that not one piece of incense would drop to the ground. It would be carried in and eventually be put on the altar. So, okay, that's good. I get that. Then he said this, which fascinated me. He closed the lid, and as he held the lid in his hand, he said, then the priest would take his finger and he would begin to lift that ring, just lift that ring. Okay, I did the pinky, but he probably did the forefinger. He'd take the, and he'd lift it, and it would go ding, ding, ding. Because if you ever strike real silver, it has a little sound, a little tone to it. I said, why did he do it? And I love what the kid said. The young man said, rabbinical student. He said, you don't ever enter into anyone's house without first making noise. And I thought, oh my. We go into God's presence with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his house with praise. Praise, worship, and thanksgiving are the words of our mouth that let God know we are entering into his presence. So they made a noise when they were coming to present the prayers. Now, the other thing I want to tell you is there was a family called the Avitinus family. And this is in Jewish writings. This particular part will not be in the Torah or the Bible. It'll be in the Jewish writings. And the Avitinus family had discovered a special plant that, according to research, grew in the area of the Dead Sea. When they would take this plant and put it in with the incense, it was one of those 11 spices. For some reason, when the smoke would go, it would go, because of this plant, it would go straight up. In other words, it didn't just go all over the place, but it would go straight up. Now, in 1988, when I first met 88 to 92, Rabbi Yehuda Getz, who was one of the rabbis connected with the Western Wall Heritage Foundation, and he would get up late at night. If you're going to meet him, you have to get there like 9 or 10 o'clock, and he would pray during the night. And we were asking him about the incense and about the prayers and about the different things that go up. And he said this, and I thought this was very, very, very fascinating, to say the least. He said that in the time when the altar was there and the incense was there, that when the prayers, now check this out. Let me backtrack before I tell you what he said. Rabbi Getz said that the prayers of Jews and non-Jews who believed in the true God would come to the area of the temple when it existed, and their words would form over this altar. And when the priest lit the incense, the words would get in the incense and ascend up, and immediately from there go to God, who would hear them. But they were encased in the incense to prevent any spirit that was in the area from interfering with any word which had been spoken. Now, again, this is their tradition. However, I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was extremely interesting. So what happens is it's called holy smoke. So that's where you probably wonder, where did Perry get the title of holy smoke? Because it is the smoke of the incense that took the prayers and the actual words and encased them there and put them into the presence of God. Now, the interesting thing is when the animals were burnt on the altar, the sacrifices, as we call them, whether it be a bull, ox, ram, or lamb, it was called a sweet-smelling savor before God. When the smoke goes up from the altar, golden altar, which represents prayers, now this is what I'm getting to. David said, let my prayers come up before you as incense. So this altar is the golden altar where prayers would go up in the incense daily. All right. And so the interesting thing I want to share with you about this and the scripture about let my prayers come up before you as incense is Psalms 142 and verse 12. So I'm going to take you back to the smoke, and I'm going to talk about heaven in just a moment. But the priest, according to all that I've studied, as they would put the incense on the altar, this is the shape of the letter Shin, the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet that represents Shaddai, or the name of God. He would stand over and the smoke would come in between that, representing God's name. So he's representing the name of God. The prayers are going up. Now, I want to talk about the other side of prayer for a moment. What happens when you pray? Now, according to Acts 10, prayers will eventually come up before God. But how do they come up? In the book of Revelation 4 and 5, out of the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God, which are the seven spirits of God. There is, at the throne of God, voices that come out of the throne. I believe that's worship. I do not have time to preach that. Your worship doesn't get lost in the atmosphere. It doesn't just get lost. Your words are all heard by God. God has a record of every word you've ever spoken, whether it's praise, prayer, idle words, good words, bad words. He has the record, because Jesus said every idle word you'll give an account of on that day. God's got a great, anybody that can number the stars and call them all by their name, I'm not worried about the record keeping system that he has. Okay. But in light with the that being praise, praise coming out of the throne of God, God rides upon our praise. Prayer, where does it go? The book of Revelation tells us that there are golden vials before the throne of God, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, let me see if I can explain this in just, this is Stone's unauthorized interpretation. You have 24 elders. There are 24 vials, golden vials. There are 24 hours in a day. Prayer was set at certain times. Ninth hour of prayer, third hour of prayer. Those would be different times of the day, of course, if we translated it today. I believe that, Jesus said, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? The 1 hour that Jesus talks about of prayer, whatever time it was put in that specific vial that represents that hour of prayer. That's why I believe there's 24. First hour, second hour, third hour, fourth hour, fifth hour. And they're separated by the time frames. That's why at certain times when they would be praying at the temple, God would then visit Peter in the book of Acts. As they were praying at the temple, God would then visit Cornelius in Caesarea. Same time that the temple people are praying, the other individuals are praying, and angelic activity is taking place. Woo, that's a message right there. So going back to this idea, when you pray, if you meet the conditions, you're praying in faith, you're praying with no bitterness, unforgiveness, or strife in your heart, you're praying in the authority of the name of Jesus, you're praying with a sincere heart, then you meet the right conditions, your prayer is heard the first day you prayed, according to Gabriel in the book of Daniel. But your words don't disappear. They are stored in the golden vials of heaven. And in Revelation 6, there are people who are martyred on earth that are underneath the golden altar in heaven. And there is, by the way, Revelation 8, there is a golden altar in heaven where all the prayers eventually come to. Boy, I'm going to run out of time here. I wish I had time to finish this. So what happens is your prayers are stored in golden vials. Then, as one person put it, and I like the way he put this, the prayer bowls get tipped. When the prayer bowls get tipped or opened, then all those particular prayers come up at one time. Now, let me say it to you this way. I have noticed in my life, in the life of my father, who was a great prayer warrior, the life of T.L. Lowry, one of my mentors, that they would a lot of times set a certain time to pray. Now, many times we will go through a time where it looks like God's not answering a lot of specific prayers. And sometimes when you're praying for a child, you're praying against their willpower, which is something, and it takes time to break that and bring them in. So sometimes your prayers seem like they're months or years. That doesn't mean God hasn't heard it. It means there is a hindrance in the answer coming through, and certain circumstances have to be worked out for that answer to come. Now, stay with me for a moment while I get this to you. So what you have to do is hold fast the profession of your faith, nothing wavering, and never say anything that contradicts the prayer that you have prayed. And people, I think the one reason we never get answers, well, I believe God. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. You're in a church service. Then you walk out the next day. I'm so fed up with all this. Your mouth is aborting your prayers from being answered. Your attitude, your bitterness and forgiveness is stopping your blessing. You got to get this right, not just this, your thinking. You got to get your heart and spirit right with God first through repentance and humility. If you do the right thing, your prayers are stored in heaven. And what happens is, just like with Cornelius, there comes a time when the prayer bowl is tipped and open. And you'll find out that like within a week, or a month, you'll start getting three or four prayers answered. I got the job I wanted. Oh my goodness, they gave me a pay raise. I was praying for that. Oh my goodness, I need a car. God just, and you'll go through this cycle where it looks like all of the prayers are just one after the other being answered over a few days, few weeks or months. That's the power of Holy Smoke. That's the power of the words that you prayed that are going up to God in the form of holy incense and are being stored. So don't forget this. You may have prayed 1,000 prayers. My daddy, before he died, he said, you tell Jonathan and Amanda, and he's named all the kids, grandkids, I've prayed 1,000 prayers for him. And I believe that even though my dad's been with the Lord for many years, his prayers are still before God. And occasionally those prayer bows are opened. And a woman one time was passing away. She called all of her unsaved sons, who at that time were heathen. She said, y'all going to be saved. Y'all going to come to the Lord because I've prayed. And even though I'm gone, my prayers are before God. That should give somebody some encouragement there. Your prayers are still before the Lord. And so just because you don't see an immediate answer, hold fast the confession of your faith, nothing wavering. Be strong in the faith. Say the right, always stay in agreement with your prayer and let the power of Holy Smoke work for you. Well, I tell you what, I could preach another hour on this, but I don't have the time. But please do this. If you like Manifest, you've got to help me keep it on the air, folks. And we need your donations and your support to do so. We always renew our contracts for a whole year. And that's why we need, so if it's been a blessing, send us an offering and support us, or order the product you're about to see. We have a lot to do for God. We want you to be a part of it. So watch this, and I'll be back in a moment. My new book titled The Visions contains specific details of visions and revelations involving future, both national and international events, from visions and encounters that I have recorded in my private journal. I've waited for the right prophetic season to disclose these warnings and events. God's word states that if spiritual watchmen do not warn the people of the danger they see coming, the watchmen will be held accountable for what happens to the people. After experiencing much inner conviction in my soul, I sensed it was the right time to pen what I and others have seen. Much of this book covers warning visions, explaining what is coming and how to prepare. I've divided the visions into what was, what is, and what is to come. Here are some of the subjects I will cover in the book. Learn the four different types of spiritual visions. I explain ancient oracles exposing how leaders attempted to see the future. Visions of cities burning, both present and future, including New York City. My father's vision of a planned East Coast nuclear attack. Also, my recent visions concerning cremation ovens. I experienced a vision of a frightening assault on a public school that I want to share with you. I have for many years experienced tsunami visions, and I've decided to release that information and include the locations that I have seen in those visions. There is a vision of a nuclear power plant that initiates a stock market crash. There's a vision of empty cities and empty streets that I believe is linked to the recent pandemic and possibly another pandemic coming. The vision of the 10-mile radius bioweapons attack on London, England. And also, I've seen in three different visions a strong earthquake impacting the Midwest, especially the St. Louis area. I also talk about the strange vision of three tornadoes that I believe cost Hillary Clinton her political future. I share a vision revealing future attacks on individual Christians and churches. I also talk about when political leaders and their administrations lose divine favor with God. I have a section where I talk about 2024 and beyond, and I've included what I believe to be an interesting historical parallel about a possible Trump second term, the coming revival through the lens of a camera. One of my favorite chapters that's going to be very helpful to you is this, 10 Rules and Wisdom Principles for Surviving and Thriving at the End. The book also has important instructions for the reader to follow. When you order this new book, I'm also including my two audio CD teaching, The Battle of the Two Marks, which exposes the future mark of the beast and explains the mystery of the seal of God, both which are alluded to in the book of Revelation. Get the new book and the audio CD now for your donation of $35 or more. Ask for offer VS-141. You can order at perrystone.org or by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD or mail your order to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320.
I hope every prophetic student, intercessor, and those interested to know what is ahead will take time to order this new spiritual resource. I've written this in the fear of the Lord, but I believe it's now the time to release the messages. A remnant is now waking up and preparing. What about you?
Now, I'm ready to announce this. This is the last week on this program that you can get the visions. Please order it now. If you've been waiting, now is the time. Also, our prophetic summit will be coming up shortly. We're very excited to see so many friends that are going to be coming and attending, the Lord willing. Some of you have noticed that from time to time, I'll have little objects on our table. These are authentic relics. Some of them are in the neighborhood of 1600 to over 2500 years of age. This particular jar, which was discovered in Israel, has the number underneath. And you know, as you know, that the Israeli Museum and Antiquities has cleared us to build a museum in Cleveland, Tennessee, with authentic relics to put on display. It'll be a Holy Land Relic Museum here on the East Coast, and all these have been fully vetted. This is about almost goes back to the time of the patriarchs. And I know specialists are going to say, put gloves on, don't put it on the table. No, we're good. Trust me, I'm very careful. But you can help support us with that museum through Voice of Evangelism Ministries if you feel impressed to do so. It'll be built right out here on the property, beautiful property of the Omega Center International, Lord willing, in the future. Now, I want to also thank each of you that partner with us. If you're not a partner of our ministry, check out peristone.org and learn about partnership, because there's a lot of great benefits of partnering, and we're going to be more involved with our partners in the days ahead, and also more programs through the lens of a camera around the world. God is opening doors. I'll be telling you about that later. See you soon. God bless you.
Make plans to attend the 2022 International Prophetic Summit, June 23rd through 26th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Come hear the latest prophecy updates from Jonathan Kahn, Kurt Landry, Mark Biltz, Bill Cloud, and Perry Stone. This huge event kicks off Thursday night and continues all day Friday and Saturday, concluding in a doubleheader with Bill and Perry on Sunday morning. There is no fee to attend, but you must register online at perrystone.org, where you will also find information on hotels in the area. Seating is limited, so sign up today. Don't miss fresh insights and exciting new prophetic revelation as each speaker proves that we are living in the end of the age and headed toward a date with destiny, including the return of the Messiah. The 2022 Prophetic Summit. Register now.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2022 Israel tour. The dates are November 20th through the 29th, with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.